And ladies and gentlemen, guess what? It's time for Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers right here from the Radio Ranch. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone. And the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel.
That old wheel.
Gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
When it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does. It will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And that's just what it's going to do. That old wheel is going to roll around again before you know it. Well, good morning. It's once again time, Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, right here from the Radio Ranch. And we got some Wranglers on the line. Not everybody could be here at the ranch this morning. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Richard.
And good morning, charismatic cowboy smiling Kyle.
Good morning, Richard.
How are you guys doing this morning?
Oh, we're doing well.
Good, good, good. Well, here it is, the end of June already. We apologize to the listeners out there. We haven't been able to gather here around the Radio Ranch microphone on Saturday mornings lately. But we're here today. Just been a little busy. You know, we had a good conference in Branson, and it's kind of cattle time and mosquito time here at the ranch. But before we go any further, why don't we open up with prayer? And Jason, I'll ask you to do that, if you would.
Dear Heavenly Father, we do come before you, and we thank you for the opportunity to be here broadcasting. We thank you for this program, and just ask that you guide and direct each and every one of us in our thoughts, and in the thoughts that you give us, we just pray that you give us the words to speak. We pray that this program is a blessing to the saints across this land, and that it is a blow to Satan and his kingdom, Father. We ask that you continue to be with us, guide and direct us, protect us from all the evils that are out there, the times that we're living in, and just we thank you again for all that you do give us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. And again, it's good to be back here around the microphone. It's sure been a long summer already, and we're only a few days into it, but we had a very good conference in Branson. Had Jason, would you say about 300 people there?
I'd say about 300.
Yeah, had about 300 people there.
And I think the spirit there was a good spirit. We had a good crowd, and people everybody that I talked to just had a great time.
Yeah, yeah, same here. Everybody, we had a real good men's meeting, and We were basically over capacity for that. I know the pastor wanted about 40 men, and I think we ended up with 44. And actually had to turn a few applications down because we were just so full for that. But pastor had a real good, I think, brought some real good messages, shared a lot of his life experiences there with the men. And Kyle, you kind of had an interesting note about how you read the men's meeting. You want to share that with the people?
Yeah, you know, we went in with the truth and, you know, worship him in truth and spirit was the theme behind it. And what I got out of it was love your brother, you know, and stop messing around with, you know, little problems here, little problems there. Basically, you know, we are a body of Christ and we need to act like it, you know. And I think what topped that off was the foot washings we had there. It was, there was a purpose behind the pastor bringing that out at this gathering, and I think it hit home with me. You know, I don't know exactly how you guys felt about it, but I mean, that's what I got out of it, was it's time for us to act like Jesus' disciples, you know, and start doing the things that he did.
You know? That's a good point. That was covered, you know, off of all the messages, even during the messages on worshiping him in spirit and in truth, and that being the emphasis, there was the underlying theme could have been, you know, brotherly love. Yeah. And I agree with Kyle 100%, those foot washings that we did, we've never done that before.
Right.
And it was important, it was humiliating, and it was humbling, and mm-hmm. it was rewarding at the same time. And it taught you to put those who, you know, you think are, you know, you, if you think of yourself better than someone, you know, put them in the position of better than you.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's something that so often people don't do, and it was good for everybody involved.
Yeah, I think so. I think so many times our people forget that Jesus himself washed the disciples' feet. And when he started to do that, the disciples said, no, wait a minute, Lord, it's, you know, we need to be washing your feet. But he said, you know, you don't understand. I need to do this. And it set the example that Christ came with a servant's attitude. And I think that was the example he wanted to leave with his disciples, and of course leave for us, is that just what you said. We aren't to think too highly of ourselves. We're to have a servant's attitude. That's the purpose that we're here. And it was. I think it went very well. The men were all energized, recharged their batteries, kind of re-armored up. I think I heard a couple men talking about.
Right.
And the Knights of Christ Singers were, I'd say, better than ever. Debuted their new Knights of Christ camouflage choir robes. That was a big hit, I think, with all the men.
I think it was.
And really just had a good time. We had, I think, 17 or was it 18 baptisms, I think, over the course of the weekend.
Yeah, I brought that out a little bit Tuesday night after the Solution Show. I brought it out how that there was 16 to 18 somewhere in that category, you know, and they were all special to God.
Yes.
But two of them was especially special to me, you know, watching them get baptized, and one of them was your oldest daughter, Richard, Rebecca,
because
she means a lot to me. And then there was a girl there from Oregon who I knew when she was born the first time in the flesh. And that was special, you know. But they're all special to God, you know. I didn't want to say that Tuesday night, but there was two there that was especially special to me, you know.
Yes.
And to see that happen was wonderful, was glorious.
Yeah, yeah, it was. It really is. And you know, I think that's part of the fruits and the blessings that God gives us, is we're able to participate in those things. It sure is comforting and exciting to see, you know, others that accept the truth of Christianity, accept the truth of Acts 2:38, and then not only believe it, but faith it. They act upon it.
Yeah.
They do what we're told to do. So, yeah, it was. It was really a, I know we had had them all weekend long. We had baptisms Friday, Saturday, I think Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, and then the last one was on Monday, you know, the day after Branson ended. But, you know, when you're convicted and drawn, do
it. Yes.
No sense waiting for the next opportunity. When you got an opportunity there, do it.
That's right. That's right. You know, the year before in Branson, we had a couple that called us up on Tuesday morning as we were getting ready to leave. And they said, I hate to bother you, but we need to get baptized. Can we come down? And by all means, we said yes and baptized them. And so, yeah, that's right. When you feel that conviction, you know, none of us know what the next hour brings, much less what tomorrow brings. And if you feel that conviction, you come to that understanding, you understand what baptism is all about, what a proper biblical baptism is, and why it's necessary. You get that conviction, you need to, who was it, Philip said, why tarriest thou?
Yeah.
Why tarriest thou? So, but it was great, great meeting, great spirit. I think we got 7 messages recorded, Jason, is that right?
I think we have 7. I think it was 7,
I think it's 7 messages recorded. We're advertising them in the next newsletter that we're starting to print. And they'll be available at least on CD. And we'll see if we got everything on DVD, a good video recording or not. But we know we got good audio recordings, so we have those offered out. And they kind of kept in line, and I think with the theme of worshiping in truth and spirit. I know Chris brought a message. What was it? So you think you have the stomach to be a prophet. And that was a most interesting message, I thought. But they were all good. They were all, I think, Holy Spirit inspired. And so if you didn't get to join us there, we'll at least have the messages available. We've got a short review in this newsletter, Volume 6, that will be going to the presses probably today or Monday. And we'd just like to say thank you to everybody who helped us, who the tithes and supporters of the ministry that support us, that allow us to put that conference on. You know, we don't charge for the conferences. There was no registration fee. We just had the donation boxes out and rely on the faithful remnant to get those bills paid. I'm sorry, Kyle. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and the fellowship that you get at those gatherings is, you know, immeasurable. I mean, they're priceless times, because most of our people are out there alone.
Yes.
You know, and they wait all year for something like Branson to come up, and you could see it. You could see it on their faces when they'd arrive, and that's, like I said, it's irreplaceable. You know, I remember when we lived in Oregon, we just couldn't wait for the next opportunity to get with, you know, fellow believers, and it's pretty special, you know, and for the crowd to be as big as it was, you know, made it even better.
Yeah, it was good. I know we had a young man from the church that attended his first time, and he said he met more good Christian people there than he thought he had in like the last 10 years of his life. And we were able to meet some of the people that usually we only talk to on the radio. Andre from Connecticut is one that calls in regularly, and he was able to attend. We were able to meet him as well as, you know, some of the others, and had a newly baptized man from, I believe, Oklahoma City that was able to come out. Mark was able to meet him. So, yeah, it was. The fellowship was just fantastic. Fantastic.
And just to let everybody know that the mosquitoes did not drive me away from the ranch this morning. The new newsletter did. So.
That's right. We're still in. We're still smack dab in mosquito time. You know, the river's flooded out. The pastures are flooded the way they're supposed to be for flood irrigation, and the mosquitoes are just in full roar and using everything we can, whether it's DEET or lemongrass or just staying inside as much as possible. But yeah, we sure miss Kyle when he's not at the ranch, because then I've got to get outside and do that kind of stuff. So, but it is that time, and we are getting our newsletter Volume 6, maybe a week or two a little behind schedule, but it's going to the printers, getting printed, so we ideally probably get that in the mail by the end of this next week. And the title to that newsletter is called Isaiah's Job, and it's a reprint of a small article that we a small pamphlet that we carry here by that same title. And the pastor has a little introduction to it that kind of explains it, and if you haven't read that, I'd strongly suggest you look forward to it and read that, because it's I think it really describes what your pastor and this ministry have been doing for the last, 35 years. And that's preaching the gospel to the remnant. So it's a very, very good article. Have some real good mailbag articles in there. I think you'll find the interest. And again, just a little Branson review and some pictures from Branson. So that'll be emailed out to those that have requested it, and that'll go in the mail probably by next Friday. And we just again thank all of you out there for your support to allow us to do that. So, and you may be asking, well, it's Coffee with the Wranglers, and you're hearing the Wranglers, but where's the boss? Where's the pastor at? Well, the pastor's kind of taking a much needed and not really that he agreed upon it, but pastor needed to take a little rest and sabbatical, and so that's what he's doing. He's kind of down in the Colorado area where the weather's a little better, the mosquitoes are a little smaller and a little fewer, and just down where he can rest, get rehydrated, get renewed and rejuvenated, and I'd say that's going pretty well, wouldn't you, Jason?
I think it's going real well, yes.
So we appreciate all of you out there that have prayed for him, as well as for praying for the rest of us in this ministry. We'd ask that you continue to do so. You know, the battle rages on. We sure do our best not to shirk back, not to shrink back, and not to worry. We know that, as David said at one time, the battle is the Lord's, and we say that as the broadcasts continue to go out, as the pastor continues to rest and recuperate, and as we continue to do what we can in getting the word out to the remnant.
Have you guys, to the, kind of the talk of the day, you guys, there was a 6.7 earthquake in Japan again this week, about 50 miles off the coast. And have you guys heard anything about that Nebraska nuclear plant? You know, how it's leaking some type of water all around it? Have you guys heard anything about that?
Yes, heard a little bit about it. The interesting thing is there's actually two nuclear power plants in Nebraska, and from what I understand, that the Obama administration put kind of a blackout on it. It's been going on for a while, and the only people that were talking about it was Russia and China, and it was talked about in their news over there, but it wasn't talked about in our news over here. And a friend of mine contacted somebody who was just across the border from that where that power plant was, and the person that they contacted actually knew somebody that worked at the power plant. So they called them and said, what's the deal with the power plant? And they said, we can't talk about it, or if we talk about it at all, we're fired and could be facing some jail time, and our phones are being monitored, so we're not allowed to talk about it.
Well,
land of the free, home of the brave.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what?
Yes, I'll tell you what, if you look at the pictures, you can find some of the pictures of that power plant online. And if you look at the newest pictures of that, there's a lot of water coming down. It's right on the Missouri River. And from the way it looks, is there's some dams that might be breaking in South Dakota, and could be sending a lot more water that direction, and things could get interesting in a hurry.
Yeah, the amazing part is how you don't hear nothing about it. I heard Thursday that there's like 52 no-fly zones in America right now, which is unusually high, you know. Just they don't want people flying over these areas to take pictures, you know. They just say, oh, no-fly zone here, no-fly zone there, you know, and then nobody talks about it. Of course, the media, you know, the government bought off paid media, they don't say nothing about it, you know.
But you got to remember, Kyle, the Buccaneers have got a new quarterback, and they are really expecting him to just
That's
take
true.
The Buccaneers to at least the playoffs. And then, you know, that jackass was killed last week, or I guess he killed himself. You know, when you go out drinking and then drive your Porsche at 134 miles an hour when you're drunk, being the jackass that he was, he was able to kill himself. So, but, you know, that's the headlines right now, because MTV is just mourning that jackass died. And so, you know, those are the important things for the Americans to be concentrating on right now.
Yeah, Yeah, a nuclear plant in Nebraska that, you know, flows into the Missouri, which flows into the Mississippi, that's unimportant.
No, don't worry about it. You know, the town of, what is it? It's Minot, I don't know how you pronounce it, Minot, South Dakota, completely flooded out. You know, 10,000 people evacuated. They're hoping that they can save the rest of the town. You know, the water treatment plants and sewage disposal plants and all that. Don't know if they can or not, but oh well, that's just the way it is. It's not like when, you know, when all the blacks are in trouble down in New Orleans after Katrina, and, you know, the whole world has to rally around to help them. You get this massive flooding in the along Iowa and up in South Dakota and along Nebraska. Well, those are, for the most part, white people. They can just fend for themselves. And please correct me if I'm wrong in my reading of that situation.
Yeah.
Well, folks, it is Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers coming to you on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, the Saint-sponsored network. And as you've heard the pastor say before, we just gather around the Radio Ranch microphone and turn it on. Never know where we're going. We don't have a script. Don't have a team of, you know, people back there saying, hey, say this, say that, here's the news, and this is what your, you know, sponsors want you to say, because we don't sell soaps and or anything like that. We just do our best, as the pastors taught us, to put the word out, put the truth out, and to try to sometimes use terms that you might not hear on NBC or Fox, just as a, not to be rude or crude, but kind of as for the shock value, to try to get you to think, to get the remnant out there out of their stupor, out of this fluoride in the water and MSG-induced spell that the people seem to be under, that yeah, all they do worry about is if the Buccaneers are getting a new quarterback and if that Budweiser's on sale this weekend. And you know, can they squeeze a little more money out of their mortgage so they can buy another four-wheeler? There's a little more to it, folks. A little more to it than that.
And there's kind of a purpose. You know, it ain't all the media's fault and all the government's fault. A lot of it is the people. They live in fear when they hear this stuff because they're not in Christ. You know, they are separated from their Maker. And so these things that, you know, that should be coming across the wires to them aren't. But these things, if they did come across to them, you know, panic would set in, fear would set in, because all they care for is today in this life. They don't care about the everlasting life that should be way more important than what's taking place today. But, you know, it just, you know, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so many people out there do not have that sound mind, you know, the mind of Christ that they should have. So it's, you know, it's kind of a catch-22, you know. I mean, if they did put it out, what's really going on in the world, you know, and that it is the sign of the times, and look up, people, you know, I kind of, you know, would dread the thought of how some of these people out here are going to react, you know. I mean, it's going to be like one of those city where they go through and they just start robbing all the stores and breaking all the windows, and it's just, you know, because that's how our people are. You know, obviously that's how the other people are too, but that's how so many of our people are, and it's kind of sad that their state of mind is where it's at.
Well, yeah, talking about their state of mind is what's interesting to me is just, you know, since we went to Branson and stuff, sometimes I forget how secluded of lives that we live sometimes. You know, out here in Colorado and Wyoming, we don't get out much, I guess, so to speak. And you get out and you start associating with people. I mean, just even here, you know, where I live, you know, I got the, you know, you can walk to work, don't have to go to town on a regular basis, and as of late had to take care of some business in town and in the town that's, you know, a couple towns over. And my dad used to have this saying, and he said, well, common sense ain't too common anymore. And I'll tell you what, just when you start getting around and being around some of the normal, I guess what you would call normal people, average people that you meet on the streets or you meet just as business associates, and common sense common sense ain't very common anymore. I mean, it's one of those things that it's a rare thing, because the way people think anymore is just completely different. I mean, it's hard to lock on to and even try to understand the way people are reasoning anymore. It's just, it's a really strange phenomenon that's gone on. I think people have been programmed by TV, radio, and, you know, people, I see people that, you know, if they're in the car, they got the radio on, blaring, you know, from the time they get in the car. As soon as they come home at night, they click on the television and they watch the television, and they, you know, if somebody thinks that they want to get smart, they turn on the news and watch the news, and then they believe everything that they see on the news. And it's just like everything's kind of crazy out there in the world right now.
The norm is not normal. Is what you're
saying.
Yeah,
and it's like, and try to reason with some of these people. It's like there's absolutely no reasoning with them. And I mean, and it reminds me of those cows that we got off of when they were on those genetically modified corn stalks a couple years ago. You know, those cows, you couldn't reason with them. They were crazy. They were crazier than a pet coon.
They were. They were absolute. Go through the fence and everything else.
Exactly. And that's the way I'm feeling trying to deal and talk to some of these people out there anymore. It's like, these people are crazy.
Yeah, now you're the abnormal one. You know, we used to, I remember when I was young, we'd call them freaks, you know. Well, anymore, the freaks are the normal, and the squares are the ones that's abnormal.
And I'm probably the one that's actually the freak and out of place and out of touch with reality as far as reality is concerned. And it's just, it's kind of interesting. I was looking at that study this week. They did a study up in, I think it was up in Toronto, Canada, and they started testing for the toxins that they were using on and in genetically modified crops. And they started testing pregnant women. And they found that like 89% of pregnant women had these toxins in the umbilical cords and were feeding it to their child. 80% of all the women that they tested had these genetically modified GMO toxins in their bodies from either meat or corn or some sort of vegetables, because everything is getting to the point where it is so genetically modified that, I mean, it you got to be really careful what you're eating anymore.
Yeah, if you eat out anywhere, you know you're going to get the GMOs, you're going to get the corn syrup, you know, the not that we watch TV. I don't know if we mentioned it on Coffee with the Wranglers before, but they I've seen a couple of ads when we've been traveling. They're trying to change the name of this they're trying to change the name of this corn syrup to corn sugar.
Right.
Oh, your body doesn't know if the sugar comes from sugar beets or from corn or from wherever. It's all the same. They show a farmer with his daughter walking through he's in a pair of jeans and a short sleeve shirt, you know, good old American apple pie and farmer, and he's walking his daughter through this cornfield and saying, you know, you hear the background that, oh, yeah, your body is okay with corn sugar. And it's just, it's the same, you know, the cheapest stuff that they can get to sweeten the food, corn syrup, but they'll call it corn sugar. So then in another few years, you know, it'll just be called sugar.
Right.
And it'll be, you know, it doesn't matter if it's organic sugar cane crystals or if it's corn sugar, it's all sugar.
That's a fact. I remember growing up and I would have bet anybody that my margarine that my mom and dad got from the store was butter.
Yeah.
You know, and that's exactly what they're going to do with this. You know, pretty soon it's going to be sugar, you know.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, we got to be aware. You know, we're not to fret because of evildoers, and these evildoers are doing all this stuff. They're poisoners, they're murderers, they're killers, they're destroyers, and they're doing this, you know. And sometimes it's hard not to fret over what they are doing. But we're not to do it. You know, we're not to fret because of these evildoers, you know, but we are to be aware, not to be deceived. And I think it's important to remember, you know, not to fret, not to worry about it,
But I think it's also important to remember to bring them before the Lord in prayer, you know, and say, hey, Lord, these are poisoners. They're killing us. They're trying to destroy our children. They're trying to destroy our genealogy. Now, Father, take care of them. Do with them what you see fit. But, you know, to remember to do that as well. This morning, I opened my Bible and just happened to open it up to Psalm 20. And I thought it was just, it really ministered to my soul when I read it. And I'd like to read the first couple verses of it. And it's just one of these scriptures that, you know, sometimes you have a scripture and it just, you read it and it just, you know, it applies to your life and it's something that you need to hear. And this is one for me. And it might not be for everybody, but, you know, it, I'll just read it. It says, quote, "May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob set you securely on high. May he send you help from the sanctuary and support you from Zion. May he remember all of your meal offerings and find your burnt offerings acceptable. May he grant you your heart's desires and fulfill all your counsel. We will sing for joy over your victory, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all of your petitions." And I just think that that's, you know, one of the things we got to remember to do is remember that he does give us victory, but, you know, petition to him, you know, and bring your prayers before him,
right,
you know, and come boldly before the throne of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
Remembering that this is a battle, and we are in war, and they are warring against us full speed ahead, and we have power and authority over the forces of hell, and we can combat them. And, you know, our weapons of warfare are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. And right now they're coming against us with fortresses, and we need to pound and pulverize them. We need to come with the power that we have been given, and we need to start using it and coming against these sons of hell, you know, like they've been coming against us.
Amen. Amen. You know, I was reminded when you read that, Jason, of Hezekiah. You know, Hezekiah, the prophet of God, told him, you're going to die. And, you know, he turned and claimed the promises, you know, and prayed and wept bitterly and said, you know, Lord, haven't I done what you've told me to do? Haven't I done right? And it said that God heard his pleas and gave him 15 more years. And God does that. He did it then. He does it now. And you're absolutely right. You know, when we have loved ones that are dying, or when we have, you know, our youth that seem to turn away, when we have this genetically modified foods and these poisons and toxins that are all about us and all this, you know, we have to be in him. You know, Galatians 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And even in these days, we are to bear fruit. And this is the fruit we're to bear. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And that's a love for the brethren. And we've talked about it before. If we love our brethren, we love our God, then we can sure hate those that hate God and hate those that God hates. And I think that goes hand in hand with that four-letter word, love. But love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. It goes on and says self-control. And I think it just brings us right back to what was spoken of earlier about Branson. You know, those things were present in Branson. There was,
yep,
there was patience. You know, we were, the conference center we normally go to is undergoing a complete renovation. They really didn't have any staff there. We didn't even have hotel rooms there. We had to drive a couple miles or 3 miles to two different hotels that they put us up in. So, you know, we had to, and everybody did, showed great patience in that. You know, there was a good peace there. There was kindness and goodness and the faithfulness. It was so good to see so many of the faithful. You know, I think about the family there from Branson. The mom and dad are there, and their cattle family. And then one of the dad's brother and his wife are there, and some of the sons were there. And you know, it's a faithful family that have been and continue to be faithful, not just to the ministry but to God and to these fruits of the Spirit. You know, sharing the truth with others. And it was good to see that. And we have to remember that, just as you read there in Psalms 20, Jason, you know, these things did not start with, you know, Matthew 1 in the New Testament. You know, Christ was an ever-present help right there with David during the Psalms. And he is an ever-present help here for us now. But we have to do what Dad says to do. You know, we can't live in our sin and just think that we have our own special relationship with God and that, you know, he's going to take care of us. It doesn't matter what his word says. No, that's not the way it works, folks. You know, he wants obedience. He wants our obedience and he wants our hearts. He wants us to, you know, he wants you to repent and be baptized because you want to do it.
Exactly. And there's, you know, when you get together like at Branson, what I noticed is, you know, you have different parts of the body. And, you know, everybody, you know, when they come together, you know, it's like you're talking about the body of Christ. You know, there's certain parts of the body and they have their certain jobs. And that's what you had together when we came together as one body. And it was such a, you know, it was a peaceful, energetic, you know, good, exhausting and rejuvenation at the same time.
Yes,
I mean,
absolutely.
It was just a great meeting, a great conference, and it was a blessing to a lot of the people. I mean, I'm getting reports back from people that, you know, for the healing sessions,
yes,
that, you know, had healings that took place while they were at Branson. You know, some of them it took place while they were sitting there standing there in the congregation, why we were praising and worshiping.
Yes.
Others is when they came forward and got prayed over, and others just, you know, driving home from Branson, you know, they could all of a sudden, boom, they knew that, you know, they were healed. And it was, you know, that's encouraging when you can hear things like that and see things like that. And it was a sacrifice for everybody that was there. It was a sacrifice for them to be there.
Yes.
And I think God honored that sacrifice.
I sure think he did. And that, you know, our prayers over the sick was a little different. Went Saturday night, and we started about 7, and I think we went till well after midnight. So it was quite different as well. And another thing we did at Branson is we debuted our Circuit Ride and Preacher Songbook number 4. And we gave one out along with a full set of CDs to each family that attended. And got a song here from that songbook number 4. We'll go to it and hope you enjoy it. We'll be right back after this.
I see God's vengeance arising. I see payback on the way. I see earthquakes and lightning. Satan's kingdom is coming down today. Don't give up the fight. Darkness turns to light. God's vengeance is on the rise. I hear a hurricane of blowing. I know the end is coming soon. Righteous wrath is overflowing. The children of Satan are doomed. Oh, don't give up the fight. Darkness turns to light. God's vengeance is on the rise. Tsunamis and deadly radiation.
tonight. God's vengeance is on the rise. Don't give up the fight. Darkness turns to light. God's vengeance is on the rise.
Payback's on the way.
Hey, what'd you think of that, guys?
Yeah, payback is on the way, ain't it?
Amen.
I was just going to read a little scripture here in Colossians. You know, it says Colossians was written by Paul and Timothy, our brother, you know. So, I mean, I'm sure only Paul penned it, but evidently Timothy was right there. And it says to the Colossians, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it," and it's talking about their faith, "do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." And I just, you know, that's what came to my mind when you were reading, Richard, the fruits of the Spirit, you know, that I pray, you know, that all those that came in the right spirit there, you know, that they will receive the wisdom and knowledge and understanding of God, you know, that'll keep them walking in these latter days, you know, until that day, that final judgment day. I mean, I know we're in the judgment day, but there's going to be that one day where it's going to be too late, you know. And I just pray that all those out there that are His, the remnant that the pastor preaches to, that they can just keep up that faith and be fruitful until the end, you know. Be faithful and be fruitful till the end.
Amen to that. And, you know, I would sure hope that the remnant out there prays that for us as well, just as we do pray that for them.
There's stumbling blocks that come, you know, and I always remember the messages the pastor brought about, you know, needing, what do you need most, though, being an overcomer, and that's something to overcome, you know.
Right.
And I don't hardly know a true Christian today that they don't have something.
Right.
You know, getting in their way, some type of hurdles.
Right. So much of it
they got to overcome.
I think so much of it too is just the people's attitude. We don't realize that, you know, what these things are. In 1 Peter 4:12, it says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you because you didn't trust God." No, it says, "which comes upon you for your testing." And don't be surprised as though some strange thing were happening to you, but to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of His glory, you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. And it goes on right after that, and it says, "If anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not feel ashamed, but in that name let him glorify God." And then it says, "For it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is with difficulty that the righteous is saved," and I think that that's what it's talking about, that the difficulties of the trials of this world, you know, sicknesses come, deaths come, too much month at the end of the money comes. You know, these things happen. But the Word tells us to rejoice because as Christians, it happens to us like it does the rest of the world at times. But it says, "If it is with difficulty that the righteous is saved, what will become of the godless man and the sinner?" And that's
that's
a sobering thought. That
and
is
just to drive that home, I'll read them. Revelation 21:8. "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." And that's what's going to happen to those who do not obey the gospel.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. It's right there in the Word, folks. But you know, you can have that judgment taken away, because there is one who is closer than a brother, And he came when we were yet sinners. He came for us. He came for me, and he came for Jason, and he came for Kyle.
Amen.
And he came for Peter. While we were yet sinners, he came and took that judgment that we were due. He took that upon him. And he said, "Nah, Dad, I'll take it for him." And he absolutely did that. And it is that we shall not perish. But you got to obey the word. You have to obey the word. You have to do what it says. You know, we've got a good little booklet, not to really be an infomercial, but actually a couple of good little booklets. One, if you don't really maybe understand the Bible, a small little booklet I think would help us, called A Bible Story. I think it can be read there at the website. We're kind of rebuilding the website, but I think it can be read there. If not, you can order it, and we'd be glad to send it to you. It's a couple of sermons the pastor did several years ago, and we put it in the booklet form. It's called A Bible Story. And it does a real good job, just a real quick Cliff Notes type booklet of telling the true Bible story. You know, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, and that the New Covenant is made with the same people the Old Covenant's made with. And then the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, and why he had to do that. And then I think a good one to go along with that is a newer booklet called Don't Miss Out. And it basically just explains baptism. Kyle, I know you kind of did the baptismal classes there in Branson. And
yes.
I think that they were quite well received. I don't think we had anybody in the classes that didn't get baptized, did we?
Nobody backed out. They, you know.
That's good.
That is good, you know. And nobody left scratching their head, as far as I could tell. So that also right. was good. And boy, it just seemed like it was a really good spirit, you know, going over there. And you know, most of the people had listened to the pastor long enough to where they didn't really have too many questions, so it made my right. job real easy, you know. And David and Wayne did most of the baptisms, not all of them, you know. But and then, you know, there were some good prayers offered up afterwards, you know, that they would be fruitful, you know, and be yes. the good seed. And the evil ones wouldn't come against them. I mean, it was all around. And, you know, I think we went over there four times, you know, or at least three. But anyway, every time was very, very good. The spirit was there, you could tell. You
right.
know, and it all was accomplished, what needed to be accomplished. And the time was perfect. Didn't seem like, you know, because it was kind of a hassle, like Richard said. You know, if you wanted to let it bother you, you could have. You know, but everybody just went over there and God accomplished what he wanted to accomplish, and everybody got back and didn't even miss a beat.
You know? Right. You know, I kind of wonder. I know at one, I was able to attend the baptism where my daughter got baptized, and there was a couple over swimming in the pool. And I don't know if it was you, Kyle, or somebody walked
yeah.
over and just asked them to, you know, said, "Hey, we're going to do some baptisms." And they stepped out of the pool and just kind of watched. And I just, it'd be interesting. You know, I can't help but think that that's a seed planted in one of them that, you know, they may go back home, wherever home is, and wonder about that. You know, the Holy Spirit may just nag them about that and say, you know, what, don't you want to know what that is? Don't you want to know what those people were doing?
It had to be something that, you know, that they're going to think about,
yes.
you know, because I went over there and I just said, "Hey, we're going to have a few baptisms here. Would you guys mind just not, you know, playing in the pool for right now?" You know, and they were, you know, and they were what you would call worldly looking.
Right.
You know, the girl was in a bikini, the guy was in shorts, and they just looked worldly.
Yeah.
But they were really polite. They said, "Oh, no problem. Go ahead," you know. And then afterwards, after it was done, I went by and I said, "Thank you." And again, they were polite and said, "Oh, our pleasure." You know, I mean, it was like they enjoyed being able to witness something like that.
Right. Right. So, who knows? A seed
yep.
planted, I sure think.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't know if you've heard, but just crazy stuff. There's somebody's phone going off. Crazy stuff going on in Canada. We've still got about 10 more minutes here in this broadcast, but... any of our Canadian listeners, I guess you already know that your post office is on strike and been on strike at least a week. And so all the things we've mailed to Canada went to the post office yesterday, and they had a nice big bundle for us and said, "Here, you keep this till we can send it on." So we got all the DVD churches back from last week, and live CDs, and ministry CDs and several just mailings of orders and stuff. So I've got a big bundle and a half that when Canada Post finally gets off strike, that we can get it back up there to them. And so we got that going on. And then we've got a, we all have a mutual friend that just took a few days off and took his boys and met his brother and his son and went up to Canada to do a little fishing. And they made it all the way to the border. And so the dad knows, okay, I've got my passport and I've got my children's passports, took his boys. And then in addition to the passports, he knew to take a notarized copy of their birth certificate. Because believe it or not, folks, just a passport is not good enough to get out or come in. Apparently you can come in with it, but to get out of the country, to go to Canada. So the man knew that. So he takes the boys' passports and their certified notarized birth certificates. And they don't want to let him into Canada. Because guess what he didn't have? And you might know this, Jason. I don't know if you've had a chance to talk to him. But in this mother may I, land of the free and home of the brave and salute the flag and, you know, God bless America, country we live in. He did not have a note from mommy saying that it was okay with mommy to take the children out of the country.
Well, sure.
Well, actually, yeah.
You know, I mean, okay, so here's the passports. Here's the birth certificates. But and both brothers, they didn't have them. And so they finally made it through. They did let them, you know, go up to Canada to do a little fishing. But they just harassed them to no end, is the way I got the story, because they didn't have a note from mommy saying, it's okay with mommy to take my children with the daddy. Now, you tell me that we do not live in a convoluted society.
Well, do you think it would have worked the opposite way? Do you think that they would have had to have a note from daddy if it was mommy trying to take them across the border? Just curious, do you think? Or would they not care about
no,
that?
No, I don't think so at all.
Yeah, probably not. No,
mama can do anything she wants to in the eyes of in this, you know, matriarchal society that we live in. Anyway, I heard that just yesterday, and it just, ugh. Oh, Lord, forgive us. Lord, forgive us. Well, again, folks, when you tune into Coffee with the Wranglers, you don't know which way it's going to go because we don't know which way it's going to go. We just pray beforehand and say, Lord, lead us, and we just do our best to try to share with you what's on our minds and some of the things that we're seeing and kind of at least try to look at some things from a biblical perspective. You know, Jason, I got Mr. Hoskins' newsletter the other day, and he always has an interesting way of seeing things. You know, he really, yeah. I think, does a good job of tying in the, the Eastern religions and how they are all basically uniting against the Western Christian white man.
Yeah, he does. There's so much going on in the country right now. I mean, I saw the headlines, I believe it was yesterday, and the headlines on the newspaper were 33,000 troops coming home. And when I saw that, it's like, okay, what's going to happen next? You know, because I just have a hard time believing that they just decided, okay, it's time to get our, they're so concerned for our troops over there in Afghanistan that they want to bring them home. The reason they got to be bringing them home is because they know something's going to happen or they're going to do something with those troops, but they don't just move troops around from here to there without having a job for them to do. So what are they going to have planned next? What are they going to do next?
Good
question. That's the way we got to look at things.
Yeah. Yeah, we have to remember they play chess. You know, we're still learning how to play checkers. Okay, this is a red marker and this is a black marker. Okay, we're still learning checkers, and they're at the, you know, 10th level of chess, that's for sure.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty amazing.
You know, if they bring 10,000 troops home, I don't know what those 10,000 troops are getting. They're not going to have jobs. They sure don't have jobs here in America. You know, You still see in the headlines, you know, there's companies moving 300 jobs out of Georgia down to Mexico, and companies moving from, you know, still as violent and lawless as Mexico is, we just have these companies continue to move production down there. Well, folks, we'd just like to say thanks for joining us. Again, Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, you never know which way it's going to go. Guys, we appreciate you guys joining us, and we will kind of get ready to go out with the song we normally go out with. The pastor sure likes it, and we enjoy it too. We'd just like to say, ladies and gentlemen, again, thank you for supporting this ministry, Scriptures for America Ministry. We thank you for supporting the network that we're on, our very own saint-sponsored network. And remember that these messages are archived at our network website. It's www.sfawbn.com. And we're presently in the process of rebuilding that website. It's have most of the messages up there. The archives are accessible. And again, we just thank the faithful remnant that are out there, that tithe, that send their offerings and financial support, and then, of course, that pray for us. If you folks didn't pray for us, then we would not be able to be here bringing you these truths and having this time of fellowship with you. Well, folks, thanks again. Do keep the pastor in your prayers. Again, he's resting, recuperating, taking a much-needed sabbatical, and do keep him in your prayers as we do, and know that he prays for the faithful remnant as well as we do.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
This country stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them hell and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride. They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride. Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Been listening to Scriptures for America Worldwide with Pastor Peter J. Peters. Should you want to write, the address is Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535, USA. Our fax number is country code 01-307-745-5914. Again, that is Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535, USA. Fax number 01-307-745-5914. When writing, please let us know on which broadcast frequency you received this program. Scriptures for America Worldwide is an evangelical ministry dedicated to proclaiming the correct gospel of the kingdom of Christ and to revealing to the world the true scriptural identity of the true covenant people. The Bible says, quote, creation groans for the revealing of the sons of God, end quote. This ministry is supported by tithes and free will offerings. Please pray for Scriptures for America Worldwide.